Okay, hi, welcome. It's more than a week after Pesach, but since we haven't had a shir before Pesach, so I can wish everyone a gesunten Sommer, have a healthy summer. Everything should be im Yisr Hashem with Hatzlacha. So we have our parsha here is Tazri and Metzaira, very, very interesting parsha, and I'd like to focus, there's so much going on there, but I'd like to focus on one nega, single nega. And Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to give five different insights into that nega. And Bez Hashem also, as you know, last week I had the schus of being in Poland to visit Kiryat Avos, and a number of interesting incidents took place, and a number of insights that I had, which I'd like to share with you, which will impact on our understanding of this parsha. So if you turn to page 327, it's in Parshas Metzora, Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So the Torah is going to tell us, we know there are different types in the Goyim. There are different types of tzaras, in the person, in the beged, and the house. And this is talking about a neg in the house. It's very interesting. Why, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what did the house do? You know, why would there be a neg in a house? We understand that the person himself, he spoke Lashon Hara, he did whatever averas that are included in getting tzaras. A person's begotten, but his house. So why is that? Why would there be a neg in the house? So we're going to let's learn a little bit, and then we're going to say what Rashi says, and then we're going to begin our journey in understanding different understandings of what this very unique nega is all about. Vaydavar Hashem al Moshe v'el Aaron Lamor, ki savayu el Eretz Kanan asher ani noisen lachem lachuzah. When I come to Eretz Kanan, well, I'll show you for lachuzah. For the sati nega tzaras beveis Eretz achuzaskem. I'm going to give a nega into the house of your. Achuza, your ancestral house that you're going to have. There's going to be, you're going to have houses that are going to become yours, and they're going to have tzaras. Uva asher loy habayis. V'higid lakayin leimor. We're doing the neg of tzaras and the bayis. And we're going to give five pshatim in Mishem, including many that are going to be impacted by my trip to Poland. You take a look, page 327. Ashol abayis behigin kayin lamer kenegin nearly the bayis, and you'll tell the kayin. Seemed I had a neg in the house. But siva kayin upinu as abayis. So the first thing you have to do is you have to empty the house out. B'terem yava kayin liros as a nega. Before he sees it, empty out the house. Well, yitma called shem abayis. So everything. So when the kayin comes in, if he says it's tamei, you're in trouble. It means everything in your house is tamei. You got a big problem. So the first thing you have to empty the house. V'ra'as a nega, he sees the nega. V'ina a nega b'kiros habayis, shkaruras, yirakrakos, adamdamos, the different colors. Amarim shofel min akirin. It's like inside certain ways of identifying it. Okay, v'yatza kain min habayis, alpes habayis, v'hizgir habayis, shivis yom. So the first thing is it closed up for 7 days. Okay? So first, you call the kain. As somebody said, you call the Kayan Hatzalah, you know, the ambulance comes with the Kohanim, and they take a look at it, and the first thing they say is, okay, clear out the house. Clear out the house. Second thing they say is, okay, you gotta move out of the house, because we gotta check out the house for 7 days. V'shava Kayan B'yayim Ashvi comes in the seventh day, and it's spread. V'tziva, man, we'll go quickly, V'tziva HaKayan V'chiltzas Avonim, and they break out some of the Avonim Asher Behem Nega. So next step is that they have to take out those stones which have the Nega in it. And then, eventually, V'ashlichai Sal Michutz L'ir, they throw it out. V'ashabayis Yaktziya B'bayis Saviv, V'shavchu Esa Ofer, and you clean it up. And then, if it still comes back, so you have to tear down the house, and you had a problem. Okay. Right now, everything looks grim, everything looks bleak. Says a famous Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi in Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Rashi says like this. B'sayra hilahem. It's a b'sayra. It's a good thing that happened. Shanega boyim aleim fishit minu emariyim matmonia shel zov. They hid all their jewels underneath the house. They hid all of their kesef, their gold, their silver. Bekirs Bateim Kalar Boim Shana. For 40 years they hid it. Because they knew the Jews were coming. And they were scared. And they said, we don't want them to find our what we have. So they hid it. It's interesting that it says 40 years. And we'll explain why it says 40 years. It just says that they hid it. What's the difference? How many years they hid it? Bamidbar Val Yedei Hanega Nita Sabayis Moitzah. You tear down the house, and the Jew gets rich. So he says, ultimately, the purpose of the of this, says Rashi, was to be good. Not, this was not a punishment, like the other naga, which we said, speaking Lashon Hara, it was all the different averes a person does, but this was a positive experience, because eventually he's going to get rich. Okay. So in the Sefer Masech Or, so he asked the question from another Sefer, and he says, that how do we understand this? How can we understand this? Let's see, he asked from the Sefer, Naos Desha. He says, I understand something. Let's go through what happened over here. The Kayan shows up, right? And he says, clear everything out of your house. Now, I don't know if anybody here has ever cleared out their attic or their garage. It's a nightmare. Clearing out a whole house is not an easy thing.
So you have to, nightmare.
Right, you have to clear out the whole house. So the guy, the yid's going, oi, vavoy, whoa, I got to clear out my whole house. Okay, fine. Okay, clear out the house. You're from a yid, the Kayan said, that's it. Then the Kayan says, wait a second, I got to lock the house up for 7 days. I got to go find a motel. Or I got to go move in with the with my relatives. I got to take my whole family, all my 14 kids, and I have to go and I have to move. Wow, that's tough stuff. Wait, it gets worse. Then the Kayan comes and tells me that got some bad news. We got to get out and rid of the bricks. So I get rid of the bricks. Then he tells me I got worse news. Got to tear down the house. So I have no house. No, everything's in storage. It's a nightmare. Ah, but it's in order that you should get to all these wonderful things. In fact, the safer being the nose dash. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to win the lottery, and he wants you to have all this good stuff, why do you have to put you through this? Why do you have to go through this whole nightmare of moving your stuff out, moving your house out, moving yourself out? Let you win the lottery. If you want to have $1 million, you win the lottery, you have $1 million. Good question. Furthermore, there's a Gemara, a Yerushalmi, that says in Horius Gimel Dalet, that says as follows. Ma'isav Abi Yudin, there was a Yid by name of Abi Yudin. Shaya Osher Gadol, he was a very rich man. V'yachni besides Nadiv about Tzedakah Gadol, and he also was he used to give tremendous amounts of money. And all the collectors knew, right, there's a certain house where I am in Muncie, there's certain people that everybody knows. They're on the roof.
It's like Purim, I see.
Yeah, Purim, right. You go, these houses. There's one yid who sits there. I was in his house. He has a pile of $20 bills like this high. Everybody walks in, depending how much he likes them, how many 20s he gives them. Everybody gets money. So these are the people that they have all of the money. So he gave away all this money. So then Nebuchadnezzar lost all his money. And the people used to collect, the Gaboy Tzedakah, tried to avoid his house. They didn't walk. They'd walk across the street. They'd walk somewhere else. But he didn't want to give up giving tzedakah. So he chases after them. And he says, what are you collecting for? So he says, I'm collecting for Yosaima. He's getting married. So he goes home and he's distraught. And he tells his wife, we have to do something. What should we do? She says to him, she says, look, we have one field left. Let's take that one field. We'll sell half of it. And we'll give the money for this Yosaima that she can get married. And the other half of the field will work, so we should have what to eat, what to make money from. That's what he does. So he sells the field. And the other half, he's sitting and he's plowing. And all of a sudden, his cow that he's plowing with falls, stumbles and falls. And he looks to see what it is, and there's a treasure chest buried in the ground filled with gold coins. And he's rich again. Beautiful. So the same kasha. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Abi Yudin to get rich, why do you have to go through this whole getting poor? Just keep him rich. Well, he's rich, he becomes poor, and you make him rich again. Why do you need all this for? Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do it this way? So listen to what he says. Beautiful answer. Hachuvi, the answer is, HaKodesh Baruch Hu writes of Lassus Lassus Amatmain, Raku Kaidim, and Nassus Olirais. First he tests him, Imachinu Roy Liskus, but is he worthy or not? How is he going to react to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him Yisurim? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him trials? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him tribulations? Is he going to kick? Is he going to say, oh, what, look at this, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing to me? Chutzpah, after all the mitzvahs I do, how dare, how people can it sound like when they're upset? Is he going to do that? Or is he going to say, listen, it's Meis HaShem HaYisazayis. I accept it. Look, it happens if Kodesh Baruch Hu wants it. Very interesting. I've seen people like this. I've seen people, mamish, that something happens and the first thing that's out of their mouth is, Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted it that way. I'm okay. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted it. And other people, I've seen exactly the opposite. Anything that happens to them, they're on a rant. They're on a rage. So he said, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to see. Why me? I mean, I can't take it anymore. So Hashem says, okay, you're right. I'll take away the tzaras. I'm listening to your tefillos, but I'm not going to give you the treasure. That's already too much. Treasure I'm not giving you. But if you handle it properly, and you show your moon and your faith on a Kodesh Baruch, and you say, look, it's all Meis Hashem, and Hashem says, okay, I'm taking away the tzaras, but you get no reward for being so nice to me. I'm going to give you the matzim, and I'm going to give you the treasure. He says we can't run away from tzaras. This is part of life. Yisurim is part of everyone's life, and there's no way out of it. However, how we look at that yisurim is how Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with us. If we look at that yisurim with an eye to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, this is pretty miserable stuff going on, but I trust you know what you're doing, and I know that it's ultimately for my good. Maybe in this world, maybe next world, I don't know. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll deal with you that way. If a person does it the other way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it with him the other way as well. So he says, so that's our first pshat. So he said, the first pshat to understand why you have these buried treasures, first pshat is to see, ultimately you'll get the buried treasure. Why do you have to go through all the tzaras? To see how you're going to react.
And how do they know they get the treasures?
Because when they dug in the ground, after they tore down their house,
I know,
so they found treasure in the ground.
There's but not everybody who did.
Not everybody had their house torn down.
Huh?
Not everybody had their house torn down. Only but certain people. Only certain
believe,
people. Not everybody
then
didn't
there's
have.
A treasure there.
The Zohar says, Rav Shamshon Pinkus brings a different shot. He says, B'shem the Zohar, that's like this. Why did they have to tear down? A different reason than Rashi. And he says like this. When they made the Mishkan, so the Gemara, the pasuk says, "Chol hanoshim, all the women, ashenos liban osana, whose hearts wanted, bechachma tavu esa izim. They did it with chachma. They weave the izim. And they say, why was it chachma? Because they weaved it while it was still on the goat. The goat's hair while the goat was a kunz, because the goat had to stand still. Shemeshah, if you ever seen a goat stand still, Shemeshah shayi oisus b'malachas mishkan hayi oimus, they used to say, Zela migdash, this is for the migdash, Zela mishkan, this is for the mishkan, Zela proichas, this is for proichas. Whatever they did, they'd always say what it's for. So he says, that brings kedusha into something. He says, in the same way, it says the Zari, the Oivdei Avodah Zarah, they also used to say it. When they built a house, they said, this is for Avodah Zarah, this house. They put up, you know, when they put up the Getchka, they put up the Salem, you know, that's how they did it. So the Zohar says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get rid of those houses which were tamei for Avodah Zarah. So he made a negah, so he had to tear down the house and he had to rebuild the house in order to be a house of purity, now the house of tumah. That's what the Zohar says. So he says how much we have to understand that when we build a house or we move into a house, he says nowadays they don't make houses for Avodah Zarah in that way. But plenty of tumah was in that house. And therefore, when we move into a house, we have to fill it with Torah, we have to fill it with Kedusha, we have to fill it with Chesed, we have to fill all those things so that the bias of ours should be a bias which is filled with Kedusha and with Tahara. So that's the second pshat. Now I'd like to say, perhaps my own machshava, and this is, as we said last week, as I mentioned, it was in Poland, on Kibri Avos together. I came with all my kids to Poland. I met my brother from Eretz Yisrael with all of his kids, and we came and we went to all different. We started out in Ozhrov, which is where, of course, we're from originally. My mother grew up in Ozhrov. She actually grew up in Lodz, but she was born in Ozhrov, and my Zayd is Ozhrov. All the Ozhrov Rebbes back to the early 1800s. So, but things happened. Interesting stories happened to us while we're there, and I'd like to share a few of these stories, and I would like to show how when you understand there's hidden matmonim everywhere. When we're talking about that, if you tear that, what? Poland, just Poland. Poland's a very big country. We spent hours and hours on the bus going from one city to the other. Right. It's very big. So we started out in a city called Dinov, and then we went to Krakow. In Krakow, and we'll talk about this in a minute, we'll save a shot, we have a Zayda. There, and then Rechiel Chaim of Ozhrov, who's 130th Yortzeit, coming up in a few weeks. And we did a Hakamas Matseva for him. because all the matzeves in the Krakow Cemetery are not all wiped out. You can't see anything. And we renewed the matzeva. He was lost for a few. They did for about a few decades. Nobody knew where the kever was. And then they found the kever. Somebody was researching and found it in the Chevra Kedisha records from the Chevra Kedisha. They found where it was. I don't know. I can't tell you the whole story. I just know that they did. That was lost for a long time because I know when my brother called me the night that they found it and he was all excited. And they found it. We put up, I should really have, after the shiur, I can show people pictures, some of the pictures. Maybe I can, you know what, so maybe we'll email out the pictures of the trip to the Chevra so you'll be able to see the pictures. It's pretty exciting. So we had this HaKamos today, which I'll talk about more, and I'll tell you over what I said there, because also it's another pshat in what we're going to say. But here's the first pshat. So we're walking out of the cemetery. There were 22 people altogether, but most of them had walked ahead, and I was in the back with my son and my nephew, David. He's a mile, lives in Israel, he's a mile. He also goes to different, when they say, if you give money to Cooper Deer or these type of things, Vada Rabbanim will daven for you by Kibrei Tzadikim. He's one of the people who goes to Kibrei Tzadikim to daven. So we're walking down the street, and all of a sudden, we're walking past one of these, drab communist era, apartment buildings, and the third floor window opens up, and a guy pokes his head out, and he says, "I'm a Yid." That's us. So we, stop, and my nephew tells him, he says, "Your mother or your father was Jewish?" In English, he said in English. He spoke in English, yeah. Which to my nephew David is not his native language because he's Israeli, so it's Hebrew, but he spoke in English. So he says, mother, father. He says, "My mother was Jewish." So he tells him, he says, "Do you have a bris mila? Are you?" He says, "What's that?" So my nephew says, "I see we have a lot to talk about Judaism. Would you like to learn more about Judaism?" And he goes, "Yeah, I would." So they exchange numbers, and he says, "I have a friend who comes to Poland. I'm going to have him be in touch with you to learn more." So I don't know what the end of the story is yet, but the fact is that there's opportunities everywhere we go and everywhere we walk if we seize those opportunities. And I think the lesson of the Kiras Habayis, of the Matmonin, the lesson of the Nega Habayis, and telling you there's treasures beneath, is to show us that everywhere we go in life, there are treasures. We just have to be there to seize those treasures, to make something of it. And that's the lesson. You see that there are Yidden who are hidden all over the world. We had a few people come over to us to tell us proudly they're Jewish. And they saw identifying Jewish people, they got excited because they're in this land. And there's probably minimal, but they're almost, they were, it's almost like he was 19 years old, this guy. It was almost like begging, be Makar of me. Help me back. So that was one story that happened. The second story that happened where we found is again, when you're on a holy mission, so to speak, things come up for you. One of the greatest rebbes, called the father of the Pilesha Rebbe, is the Chozeh Melublin. I don't know if you ever heard of the Chozeh Melublin. Chozeh Melublin, the seer. Chozeh is somebody you can see far. Melublin. He was considered, all the rebbes came from him. So, and we're descended from, he's a great, I think, eighth generation grandfather. And we were going in the cemetery of the Rimonov cemetery, and we were there, and we were by Mendel Rimonov. And the caretaker guy says, "Would you like to see some other farm?" And they take a walk all the way down on the bottom of this hill, because they built this cemetery into a hill. And the bottom, he says, "This is the kever of Reb Tzvi, the son of the Chozeh, who's our grandfather." We never knew this before. But you find things as you look for them. As we're walking to the Rimonov cemetery, so a car pulls up, and my son David, everyone's again walking behind, there's always the people in the front, the people in the back, and a car pulls up, and a Polish man jumps out of the car. So everybody starts running because they have, they got scared. So for whatever reason, my son David did not. So he walks over to him and he says, "I want to give you a souvenir." And he hands him a silver yacht of a Sefer Torah that's 150 years old. He said he bought it in a flea market, or he bought it in a something, one of these places, because there was no value to it. So my son David says, "Would you like money?" So he says, "No, I want to give it to the Jewish people." And he gave him the silver yacht, 150-year-old silver yacht, that was there. So just being there, I was thinking, what is the basheret? The only reason that we were walking to the cemetery, normally you pull up right by the cemetery, is because we were in a big bus, and the bus had to park in the street. The bus had to park down in the street because it was a big, heavy bus. It couldn't go in side streets. And we had to walk. And at that minute that we're walking, this guy comes along in his car, jumps out of the car and hands us something which is priceless. His mom's priceless. You can't, 150-year-old yad from a Sefer Torah, which we used in the Ozhar River, based medrash. As I said, when we went to the Ozhar River, we went to the town hall of Ozhar, we met with the mayor and the deputy mayor to thank them for helping preserve the cemetery. And I said, this is not just a relationship of the past, it's a relationship for the future as well. So you find something like a yad, a 150-year-old yad, and it's something which will be for the future as well. So again, these are all hidden things. When you're on a mission of Kedusha, somehow these hidden things come to you. So we had a person come to us, and we had a yad come to us. And one of the places we visited, Krakow, was this magnificent building called Isaac Shul. And this is really the essence of this entire parsha of the Nega HaBayis. The essence is in this story. And everyone knows the story, but we'll tell it anyway, because it's a story that illustrates what we want to do. In Krakow, in the which is rather where my great great grandfather is buried, we'll talk about. So there was a Yid by the name of Isaac Ben Yekel of Krakow. He was a very poor man. One night he has a dream. And the dream says, under a certain bridge in Prague, there's a tremendous amount of money. There's gems over there, and if you go over there, you're going to become a rich man. That's his dream. So he says, he's not going to listen to it. He gets the dream several days in a row. So he goes to Prague, and he comes to this Rabbin of Pshiska told over this story, it says. He comes to Prague, and it's heavily guarded. You can't just go to a bridge and, start digging. So he's trying to figure out how's he going to get in to dig. So he's walking around and walking around and walking around. And the guard finally notices this Yiddel. Obviously, he's not dressing like the people in Prague. He's this guy from Poland. And he says, what are you doing here? So he says, I'll tell you the truth. You figure no lie's going to work. I'll tell you the truth. I had this dream that there's a thing. So the guard starts laughing. Like these Polish Jews, oh, you guys are such fools. He says, I also had a dream last night. I dreamt that this guy, Isaac Ben Yekel, had a big amount of money under his house in Krakow. That under his floorboard, under the oven, was a tremendous amount of treasure. You think I go running to Krakow? Oh, you foolish man. Go away. So he hears this. He immediately runs back to Krakow, to his own house, and he digs under the oven, and there's the money. And he became a very rich man. He even became a banker to the emperor. And he built this shul. It's a gigantic shul. It's a huge shul, beautiful, huge shul. He built this shul, and it's called Isaac Shul. If you go in Krakow, on the front of the shul, there's a big board with the legend written on it. I Googled it, so that's how I found it in front of me. So he says like this, Rabbunim Pshisa tells over the story, and he says, you don't always find what you're looking for by traveling to a distant Hasidic court. True spiritual treasure can be acquired right near your home with intense effort and tefillah. That one of the biggest mistakes that we make in life is thinking that our treasure of our life is somewhere else. Right, exactly. We think that the other person has better than we have. We think if we just go to the other place, it'll be better for us. Okay. Not true. Says the story of Rabbi Isaac, said Rabbunim, it's in your own house. I remember I once went, there was a certain yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and I remember I came back to the Mavaka Rebbe, and he said, how was it? I said, I really want to leave. It's not so many bachim there. It's not so full. I'm not sure. So he told me the story. He said the same thing. He said, you're making a big mistake. Treasure's inside of you. You're not going to find it with other people. If you're a person who wants to be close to Rebbein Shem, you'll be close to Rebbein Shem wherever you are. And that's the lesson. And you see this. You go there. We were in Dinov by the Bnei Yisoskar. We come in. There's a shrum hotel. And there's a Hasidic guy who's in charge of the hotel. And he's living in war. He's living in Dinov, in the city of Dinov, which is in Galicia. It's in southern Poland. And he built a hotel. And he built 15 apartments. And he's giving away to free to anybody who lived there. To come and live there. Because he wants to build it up. there, wherever you go, there's a Yiddish neshama who's bursting to come out. And here you have Nebuch. We all know what happened in Poland. Well, when the Germans came in, what they did, and unfortunately had help, had some local help. But you look at the Renaissance. You look at Frankfurt. We went to Reb Chaim Tzanz. We were there the day of the Yartzeit of Reb Chaim Tzanz. There are thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people who came there to be there. So, you know, like you say, you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good Klal Yisrael down. Klal Yisrael just, you know, they keep trying, and Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, comes back with a vengeance, comes back full force, because if we realize that the treasures are under our house, treasures under our oven, maybe the oven wasn't plush, the oven is a place of heat, is a place of excitement, a place of warmth. The oven, maybe that's what we have to understand. So the Kiras Habayis and Bainsham is telling us, I'm putting a nega. You're going to tear down your house and you're going to find treasure in your house. Because that's the lesson of the treasure under the house. Because that's what we're going to find in our own houses, in our own neshamas, in our own lives, in our own families. And that's where we're going to find it. And we shouldn't think that we have to go elsewhere. As we said, that one of the things that we did there, we really came with the Ikra was Dakamas Matseva. And we mentioned that was my Elter Zayda. I don't know if I got enough Elters, but it's about seven. Rabbi Chil Chaim of Ozhrov, that they found the kever after many years, and they made a Chanukah Sabai. They made Akamas Matseva there. So I was asked to speak, and here's what I said. And I think this applies to this parsha as well. It says in the Pasuk, David HaMelech said, Haydel Hashem ki toiv, ki li oilam chazdai. Praise Hashem, who is good. We thank Hashem, ki toiv, ki la'olam chazdai. And I had a question. Why does it say la'olam chazdai? It should say ki chazdai la'olam. Haydel Hashem ki toiv, ki chazdai la'olam. La'olam chazdai is backward. That's not English. I mean, it's not Hebrew. I don't know. Have you ever heard this question?
Okay,
no.
So you're
saying. Okay, right. So I'm saying, why say Leilam Chazdai? Say Chazdai Leilam. So I said, because David HaMelech wants to put the doggish on the word Leilam. Think about the word Leilam, and we'll say three pshatim and what Leilam means. There are different meanings. So one meaning is Leilam means it's a long time. Leilam. It's
forever.
50 years. It's forever. It takes Leilam in the Torah, it says that they'll go out. The people will go out for the Yovel year. Thank you for the Yovel year to the Yovel. So it's 50 years. So I said, sometimes the Rebbeinu doesn't always show his chesed right away. Sometimes you have to have faith. You have to have patience. We didn't know where this kever was for many, many, many years, and all of a sudden somebody finds it. The Yovel chazbai. The chesed can take time, but eventually you'll get to that chesed. I got to spoke in Baltimore. We had a siyum of the Dafyomi in the Zikin. I said the Dafyomi is only 95 years old. The great Dafyomi is only 95. Means the Rebbeinu Shalom waited until the Kali Shalom needed Dafyomi. And then he dropped Dafyomi into us. He waited until we needed Hasidus. And then he dropped Hasidus into us. He waited until we needed Musar. And he dropped Musar into us. The Ches is always there. It just doesn't show up. You have to have faith in our private lives also. Sometimes we dive in and we're waiting for the chesed to come. We're saying, where's the chesed? The oilam chazdai. The chesed sometimes takes time. So here you have this house, and you have to break it down. And first the kohen comes, and he tells you, you know, you got problems, you got to move all the stuff out. So you call the movers, you move all your stuff out. Then he says, you got bigger problems, you got to move yourself out. So you move yourself out. You go live somewhere in a motel. Then he says, bigger problems, you got to tear the thing down. So you tear your house down, and that's where you find the treasures. The oilam chazdai. It can take a long time. But the chesed, says David HaMelech, is there. It's always there. It just can take a long time till you get to the chesed. So that's one pshat. The second pshat, I was thinking, is that the word l'olam also means a world. A world, an olam. All of us live in different worlds. We have the greater world, right? The globe. We have the world of Klal Yisrael. We have the world of our families. We have the world of
Klein and Velflach.
It's a Klein and Velflach, right?
Velflach, right.
There's many Velflach. Everybody lives in multiple worlds. We all live in different worlds. So, but we have to understand that in each world, there's Hashem's chesed is operating in every one of those worlds. This morning I woke up and I had a very bad Charlie horse in my leg. I was much like an agony, right? And I thought to myself, Baruch Hashem got better, you know, we took some whatever, got better. And then I thought to myself, why every morning don't I get up and say, Hashem, thank you, I don't have a Charlie horse. In my world, he's doing chesed every minute. So why am I not thanking him? The answer is you don't think about it, because until you have a tzar, you don't think about it. You don't realize it's chesed in every world you're doing, that the fact that there's no world war, it's a chesed from the Yibayisham. The fact that Baruch Hashem, Yiddishkeit, Yidiner, on the whole are doing okay, that's a chesed from Yibayisham. If your family, it's all chesed from Yibayisham. So the Olam Chazak, we have to look at our world and we have to say, look at the chesed that Kodesh Baruch is doing for us. In every world that we inhabit, a world of work, a world of family, a world of Yiddishkeit, a world of city, world of state, world, state, federal, local, you got it. So many worlds we live in. And everyone has done chesed. And if you think you're having a hard time, you ain't seen nothing yet. There could be things that are a lot worse, and people are having a lot worse. So we have to, every minute of our life, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the chesed of the oilam that he allows us to inhabit. And finally, the world of oilam also means eternity. It means netzach. Netzach netzachim. Because ultimately, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to lead us to Yom HaYisrael Mashiach. Ultimately, it's going to lead us to a place which is going to be a better world. We ultimately all come to a better world. When it says, what?
Chai Olam.
Chai Olam. Yeah, Chai Olam, not the Chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts that world, eternal world. There's eternity to his chesed. It's not just that the chesed is, like we said in the first part, is lurking, waiting. We just, sometimes it'll take longer, some take less, or the second we see it. But the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chesed of netzach. It's a chesed that exists forever. And it's something, so when we daven, we have to pray for that. We have to daven for all of those things that we should have, be zoiche to the chesed Ribbono Shel Olam. And that comes back to our first word. We said that why do we have to go through all this tzaros? Why do we have to go through all the tzaros in order to get to the matman, to the bottom of the house, right? We have to tear down and go through moving out, everything we said. And the answer is because the Kodesh Baruch wants to see how we look at the world. Do we look at the world and say, Kodesh Baruch, we understand that ultimately you're doing good for us, and we just don't understand it? We can't figure it out, but we have faith that it's good. Or do we kvetch? That really determines who we are. So we daven, we say, Kodesh Baruch, give us the chesed, the oilam chesed yibana. That's what we said, it's a world oilam chesed yibana. But it's also oilam chesed yibana. He makes a world of chesed, but he makes a chesed for eternity. We shall be zeichet to the eternity of the chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we shall be zeichet that we look to the others, we look to the most, that we had the schus to go back to, and we should gain from them and see their emunah pshuta that they had, and we shall be zeichet that emunah as well. And we want from Shashikas Agula Shleima, Mitzvah Shalom.